Time right now is 8:30. Good Friday morning, and welcome to the WLBB Community Voice here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. I am your host this morning, Colin Worthington, and my guest, his name is Dan Dixon. He started Carroll County Recovers in 2021 to help those battling addiction. He's a lifelong Carrollton resident. And happy to have him in this morning to talk about his own recovery and how he got started here. And good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, you've already told me, you've introduced yourself to me this morning, and you know, your lifelong residency here in Carrollton, and talked a little bit about your family. But go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you for the coffee.
Absolutely,
good coffee conversation this morning.
Talk about the coffee. We encourage more people to come in because we're actually serving coffee.
Come
now.
Speak on the show. You'll get a good cup of Joe
and a mug to take home.
Yeah. So I'm appreciative for it. So my name is Dan Dixon. I'm originally from here in Carrollton, Georgia. So 35 years old. I was here a good 26 years. Born and raised here. Mom and dad are both from around this area too. Grandparents from this area. So everybody's through here. Born, raised, started out going to school at Central. Just to kind of give you a little bit of my backstory with addiction. And it started fairly early. So my first use in my life was actually right around 13, 14 years old. So pretty young. Started kind of drinking around with some buddies by the lake. I think a lot of people, it tends to start that way. Kind of harmless, right? It didn't really seem like it'd be anything that big.
You're just being a rebel at 13 or 14.
Yeah, just a rebel kid. The truth is I've kind of always been this size since I was, you know, pretty young, and you can't see me on the radio. I'm a pretty big guy. And so just trying to fit in with people where I could, be a part of the crowd. And really just, from there, you know, as I got into high school, seeking the popularity phase, seeking the friendships, whatever I could get, kind of started into the marijuana, the cocaine a little bit, you know, on and off through school. So, you know, here I am, a 15, 16, 17 year old, trying to do school while also trying to figure out a way to get, you know, cocaine on the weekends.
Well, let me interrupt you there, not to give kids advice on where to find cocaine, but as far as letting the parents know here, where are kids 13, 14, 15 years old finding cocaine?
At that time, so you got to remember, I graduated in 2005. Mm-hmm. It was in the schools. So it was pretty easy to find it at that time. Now, I'm sure Central has locked itself down and come to its better senses, of course. But kids are smart. You know, kids, if they want it bad enough, they'll figure out a way to do it. And this was like right at the, when cell phones slowly started getting big, when you had to push all the, you know, the number 9 to get all the way to Z, you know, 4 times to get all the way over to Z. It was a tough time just trying to figure out, you know, who I was back then. And that I decided then, like, this is who I'm going to be. So graduated high school probably by the hair of my chinny chin chin, because it, you know, I didn't really have great grades. I wasn't a star athlete, anything like that. Tried to go to school because that was obviously what parents really wanted. Everybody wanted, you know, you got to go to college, graduate high school, go to college. That was the way it was taught to me back then. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. You know, going to college sounded great, but I kind of just wanted to go to college to party, you know, thinking about the old Animal House style days, I guess, and just thinking that's what college was. And then I got into college and just didn't really ever give it a shot, didn't really ever try. So I flunked out of West Georgia first time I went there. Tried to go to West Central Tech back when it used to be West Central. I think it's West Georgia Tech now. Didn't do well there either. Just kept partying harder, just kept getting worse. So flunked out of there, tried another school in the first, right when you get over Alabama, called Southern Union. Didn't do too well there either. Just kept getting worse because I didn't really know what I wanted to do, right? I mean, everybody kept saying, oh, you'd be great at this. You'd be really good at this. You should look at doing this for your life. And I didn't know what I wanted to do for the next 40, 50, 60 years at, you know, 18, 21, 22 years old. So I flunked out of there as well. So 3 different colleges, all those colleges, I'm sorry. I didn't know any better. So my parents gave me that option at that time. They said, look, we're done helping you with college. The scholarships, obviously, were done. I couldn't get any more of those. And so they said, you can either work or you got to go to, you got to pay for your own school. And I was like, well, I guess I'll go to work. So I started working construction, and I hurt my back on the job one day. And I had a friend who was like, hey, we have this pill called OxyContin, and it will help your back. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have insurance, so that sounds like a pretty good idea. And if I'd have known, you know, then what I know now, I mean, what a difference it may have made. But I'd say within about 5 to 6 weeks, I was a full-blown Oxy addict, blowing every paycheck I had on it. You know, every place I went, I was trying to find it. Didn't matter where, when, who, what. When I got home, I was trying to find it. Got fired from that job. And then, you know, my parents came in asking questions like, hey, something's wrong. So I entered my first detox because coming off of that is just horrible. You have to go through all your withdrawals and all that. So I left detox, used pretty quickly. On and off, you know, I could just tell you all this story all day and every day. I ended up going through 4 different rehabs. Finally,
they're all different rehabs, not the same place.
One of them, I went to the same one twice. Yeah. So the last two, I went to twice. So I went to this place called No Longer Bound. It's up and coming. Great place. Awesome place.
We've had them on the show, actually. I want to say about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How about that? So the first time I went, didn't really want to change. It was just pretty much, you don't have another option between, you know, this rehab or jail. So I went there, did 6 months, left. And then, the Oxy game had gotten so expensive. So that's when it turns to heroin. My lifestyle turned into there. So I'm between that, 'cause it really got pretty bad pretty quick. So living out of my car, in the Bluffs up in Atlanta, which is a pretty tough neighborhood for anyone to be at. So just living out of my car, this was on and off for about, I don't know, 6 months, somewhere 6-7 months. I ended up calling my parents one day and I said, look, you know, I was finally sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I said, maybe No Longer Bound will let me in just one more time. And I called them, got accepted. When I went there, it was a year-long program. And I said, look, I'll come in. They said, well, we're going to let you in, but because you've been here before, you're going to have to do 2 years instead of one. And I was like, that sounds good to me, right? Anything sounds better than what I've been going through. And so did that. After that, got called to ministry. After staying there my 2 years, I got back in relationship with my parents, back in relationship with my sisters. I have 2 older sisters and some nieces. So I ended up, like, God just kind of restored all of that for me.
So were your actions affecting that relationship then?
100%. I was taking it. If it wasn't nailed down, it was in the pawn shop. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't glued in your wallet, it was taken out of your wallet. I mean, it's not, I mean, obviously, like, I am not proud of that. Sure. But it's the drug
when you
took
say
over.
That, you know, for somebody to be able to say that and tell those stories, I mean, somebody else who's doing that same thing right now can hear that. And I think that's
right.
Your intent is to.
Like, it didn't matter how close you were to me. It didn't matter who you were to me. You were affected by it. You know, the drugs literally change your brain format. It changes everything in your brain, rewires it, and hard drives it strictly to use. And whoever gets in the way, it doesn't matter. And so after No Longer Bound, restored those relationships, I met my wife. We started dating here in Carrollton, when I was working at Starbucks when I came home. Mm. And,
Then this is pretty recent then.
This is in the last, so we'll be married now 6 years.
Okay. Yeah.
So it feels like a while. I've been sober, think by the grace of God, 9 years in February. So I'm really excited for that. We had, you know, got married. I've been in ministry for a period of time. I've worked in teen recovery. I've worked in adult recovery, and now I'm back here in Carrollton. So we've had our daughter since then. My daughter will be 3, Macy. She'll be 3 coming up in March. So
yeah, I mean, obviously you speak well on the subject and you give out a lot of information. I mean, I have five or six different questions. I mean, just, you know, talk about yourself that I think, yeah. I think is helpful. I definitely do want to talk about, you know, Carroll County Recovers and just talk about that program as well. But let me get back, I guess, you know, initially what I caught when you were speaking was you had decided who you were going to be. I mean, that was when you were still in high school. You said, at that point, I had decided who I was going to be, which you know, suggested I was going to do drugs and alcohol. I mean, is that a conscious decision? Or is that I just accept that I don't need to quit this?
It's an acceptance of the surroundings and the surroundings I had put myself in. I didn't really ever – I was never the type of person I think I was also pretty stubborn. Growing up, I mean, I guess most teenage boys are. I don't really know. Maybe I was more than others. But I just finally just realized, like, I'm not cut out for school. I'm not a star stud athlete. I'm not a this great, cool person. I'll just be this druggie because they make me feel good. They, like, at the end of the day, the drugs do their job. They make you feel good, and it fits you in with that crowd that you want to be with. And again, not anything I'm proud of saying, but it was part of who I had slowly become over time of just letting that stuff kind of eke in to my brain.
When your parents kind of gave you an ultimatum, you know, as far as, you know, we're not going to cover your school anymore, you need to go to work. How did you hide what you were doing from them for so long? Because it sounds like they really weren't aware of that particular
problem. Yeah. So the job I got was a traveling construction job. So, at the time, 21, it was pretty great. I got paid, I mean, at that time, $10 an hour was a lot of money. Now we're seeing all these people with all this great start-out pay. But I was traveling to Texas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, South Dakota, all over America building substations for a buddy of mine's dad's company. And so we just traveled and got to work. So I kept it well pretty hidden because I would be gone 6, 7, 8 weeks and be home for 4 or 5 days and then go back out for, you know, 3 months. And so it was pretty easy to keep it hidden until, like, I started missing car payments because I couldn't pay my car payment because I'd used my entire check to get high in the 5, 6 days that I was home, you know. So, yeah, it was kind of easy to keep it hidden until things started to kind of get noticed, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Before we do take our break, you talked about the friends that you had during that time that were doing all these things with you. Are you still in touch with those people? Have you been able to try and help them? Have they ever sought out help?
So some of them I have. I've lost about 24 friends along the way. So
lost as in
they passed on. Wow. And one of my best friends, Derek, he passed away when I first got out of rehab. He and I we traveled the country together, and I was his pallbearer at his funeral. One of the hardest days I think I have ever.
Did you use that as an excuse to use?
No. That was when I was sober, and I wanted to be sober, and I wanted to use his story to help others. And it was hard because when I came home and I was like, I'm going to make completely new friends. Like, I came home with nobody other than my family because I knew if I got around them that it was going to be game over for me. Which is hard, you know. Now, over time, I've been able to go back and help some, but it's taken time. I had to give myself time to be removed from them to be able to go back in and help, if that makes sense, because I needed to put my recovery before anything else.
I do want to take a break. I don't want to lose the continuity we've got going on here. We'll give some kudos to your wife, I'm assuming, at this point. Let's say, I mean,
Kylie is the best.
Well, you met her after you got out of rehab. Yep. How did you tell her that, hey, I do have this problem? And then, I mean, just talk about how important her support must have been or still is for, you know, the last several years.
Literally the first date. I wanted, because I was to that point, I didn't want to hide anything from anybody. So I'd worked on myself. I'd really allowed God to work on me. So the first date, I'm like, all right, I need you to know something. I used to be a full-blown heroin addict who was homeless, but I've been changed. My life has been changed. I've been sober about 2 years now. And if that sends you running, I'm sorry. And she said, no, like, I think it actually makes me kind of like you a little bit more. So the fact that you're that open and honest right off the bat. So, yeah. and she has stuck with me in my trials. And like I said, it's been a crazy journey, and I'm glad I get to work on it with her.
So that support group is very important. I'm getting, you know, for 10 years. All right. Let us take this first break at 8:45. Our interview this morning, Dan Dixon. He started Carroll County Recovers last year, and we'll talk exactly what that is and maybe how you can participate and how you can reach out if you believe you need to. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating its 60-year legacy. From pre-K 3 through 12th grade, we encompass a family-oriented atmosphere. With a faith-based value system working as a foundation to support our academic standards, we prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to join us for our admissions open house on Thursday, January 27th at 9 a.m. Come hear how your family can be a part of this continued legacy. Register today at oakmountain.us.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program on this Friday. I'm your host, Colin Worthington. 8:47, if I didn't already say that. Our guest this morning is Dan Dixon. Dan has started Carroll County Recovers, and I had a good introduction to Dan and why he would be the person to run this program. So if you missed any of the program so far, you can go to our website, newstalk1330.com. We'll have a podcast up there at about 9:02. Well, Carroll County Recovers.
That's it.
That's how did you decide that you were the guy? What's the, we talked a little bit about your background, but you probably have to have some more qualifications
sure.
to get something like that started. But tell us
about it. So I've worked in recovery now for about 5-6 years. So with a teen recovery and adult recovery. In that process, I started working on my CAC1, which is a certified addictions counselor through GACA, which is the Georgia Addiction Counselors Association. Mm-hmm. So I got my certification through them. It took me about a year and a half. So just working my way through classes while I was working. My wife was so gracious during that time, kind of let me go back and forth. She sacrificed so much in my journey. And so I got that in 2020. So even during the pandemic, I was still just trying to work away, chip away. How could I get better? How can I be better in helping more people in recovery? And then from there, I got through the Georgia Council on Substance Abuse, what they call a CARES certification, which is basically it's a recovery coach. And so I get to help people in that aspect. And I'll explain those two here in a second. And then I became through the Georgia Mental Health Consumer Network, I became a forensic peer mentor, which is for helping people to reduce recidivism for people coming in and out of the prison system. And so I just wanted to get more educated and know more than just my story, right? I didn't want to just be this one-trick pony who just used his story all the time to help people, which that's a part of it, right? Because it's that lived experience that matters.
But your reasons are not going to be the same as everybody else. The reasons you started.
Right. And so it became this thing, like I really wanted to hear or to let other people hear the story, but also be able to talk to them about the science of addiction recovery. And so with Carroll County Recovers, like I really, so I came back to Carrollton in December of 2020, right at the end of 2020. Started working around in Carrollton some. And then I just kept thinking, like, man, I'm called to do something bigger than I've been working at Pathways at that time. And I'm just called to do a little bit more. Well, at that time, I'd been speaking at drug court here in Carroll County doing their graduations from time to time. And they said, look, we're in this process of getting some treatment, a new treatment provider. Would you be interested in putting your name in the hat? And I was like, well, I don't really have a business, but I've been thinking about doing that. I've really been thinking about starting my own business for recovery. And they said, well, if you'll start that process, like we'll consider you in this time too. So I started Carroll County Recovers, which is what I wanted to do. Went, found out it was a lot easier to start your own business than I thought it was.
Was it a business or is it a nonprofit?
It's an LLC right now. Okay. I think I have an eventual goal in about the next year to 2 years to start a nonprofit and doing a little bit more of a niche area whenever it comes time. But for now, it's just my LLC, so Carroll County Recovers. And currently what I'm doing is I'm contracted to Carroll County Drug Court to do their group sessions, their group counseling, their one-on-one sessions, their addiction education for their clients. And so I'm very blessed that they even considered me. Judge Hightower is just one in a million kind of person. Just they really gave me a shot, and it's been one of my most favorite jobs. I get to work with people who were just like myself. And I think that gets felt along the way. Like that kind of has a ripple effect with these clients. And it's really an awesome job to get to work with.
When you share those stories, I mean, is it you guys laughing about those stories, or when you're communicating,
I think there's sometimes where you get, cause for me, I do laugh a bit about my addiction. It helps me kind of overcome it some. Because I stayed in some pretty rough places, but there's a relation to, like, they understand it. Like, when I say I know what it's like to have put things in my body, they're like, yeah, me too, right? Like, there's an instant connection of, like, I know what you're going through because I sat in that same chair. Mm-hmm. There's times where, like, we've shared and people are like, yeah, I know that person too. And I'm like, yeah, man, it was tough. And it's helped people in this process to kind of see that not only has someone ever been through it, but you can also get out of it and get back to helping other people, right? Step 12 talks about us going back to giving ours back to others. And so it's really been awesome to kind of give back my story to other people to help them in their progress.
When I ask you that question, you know, I do wonder about when you see maybe alcoholics or people stoned portrayed in movies for comedic reasons. How does that make you feel? Is that helpful to anybody?
I'll
laugh at it, you know, depending on the setting. But talking about it with you, I do wonder, is that helpful for somebody who is trying to?
I can laugh at it now, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm coming up like on that 9 years. I'd say it's not in the early, right? Like everybody's different. Every person has a different way they think about it, a different way they perceive it. And so, you know, in movies and stuff, I think a lot of it is meant to be a laughing, joking matter, depending on the place. But I tell a lot of my people, like, hey, look, because there's obviously some great, you know, documentaries. There's some great shows about people starting in recovery. And I tell them ahead of time, like, look, this is really good, but it's really triggering. Right. It can be something that can really, it might set you off. You may want to be cautious and maybe not watch it alone, or maybe not watch it right now. Right. Maybe watch it in a couple of years when you feel more comfortable where you're at, because it is tough. Right. I mean, sometimes you just never know what somebody is going through, and something triggers that response. And then all of a sudden they're ready to go, go back to it. You just never know.
Time right now is 8:54. Our guest this morning, Dan Dixon, Carroll County Recovers. We're going to take our final break and wrap up our program. Can't believe it's already over. We're going to have to do this again, Dan. Yeah, time again, 8:54. We'll come back with about 5 minutes. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
I'm Michael Flynn, Oak Mountain Academy class of 1978.
Katie Flynn, class of 2010.
Justin Flynn, class of 2014.
Logan Flynn, class of 2019.
And I'm Marnie Flynn, current teacher at OMA.
My uncle Richard Orm Flynn, a founding father of Oak Mountain Academy, had a vision to see students become confident leaders who hold a faith-based value system in an academically rigorous environment. We are proud to celebrate 60 years of fulfilling my uncle's vision.
Our family invites you to visit the campus or oakmountain.us today.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at tanner.org.
8:55. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. I'm Colin Worthington. My guest this morning, Dan Dixon, with Carroll County Recovers. And just about 4.5 minutes left in our program. It did zip on by. A lot of interesting information on this show this morning. So let us make sure that we get this part out. I do want to talk about, you know, how people get in touch with you and what they can expect through Carroll County Recovers. But as far as when somebody determines that it's time for them to seek help, I mean, you know, again, I may joke about this. I mean, do they have to be rock bottom drinking out of a puddle? You know, or I mean, what's it going to take to get somebody? Is it a family member? Will do people accept that family members may help? And
yeah, I think everybody's different, right? What I have learned is that you don't have to hit rock bottom anymore, because what I, in my experience, like, I will live at rock bottom. I will dig trenches at rock bottom and go as deep as I can possibly go. And so, no, I don't think you have to be there. I think you just have to have an option to say, like, I want something different, even if it's a little bit different, even if it's just a different, you know, than where you have been. And so we, you know, myself, like what I offer with Carroll County Recovers, we help with families, we help with the addict, we help with anyone that's involved in the process, right? Because everyone's affected. The addict doesn't just affect themselves. It affects everyone. And so getting the opportunity to really, just say, like, look, if you're someone who's struggling, battling with an addiction, there is a pathway out, right? There is a way to get to a different side. My big thing, I tell everyone that comes in our drug court, you know, I don't care how we get there, as long as your path leads to recovery. And I'm going to help you get there because I want to see you succeed. My heart says I want to see you be in a better spot than where I found you.
If we, if somebody's listening right now, say they have a family member and maybe they want to reach out for help on how to solve their own issue with their family member, or if somebody's listening and they do want to get help for themselves, how do they get in touch with you, and what will that process be like?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook page, Carroll County Recovers on Facebook. Easy way, you can send a message through there. You can email me at dan@ccrecovers.org. Or call my work phone, which is 404-801-8948. And it's a pretty easy process. You call me, I'll talk with you for a minute. I'll come out to you. We can meet somewhere. I've got some different office settings right now. But I'm willing to meet anywhere, any place, anytime, because I know, you know, somebody's in the midst of the struggle with it. They're not necessarily always in the right place. I'm willing to go wherever I need to go to help that person.
Well, I imagine it's not the easiest thing to tell your own story, but maybe after you've done it so much, I mean, you know how important it is to share your story, and good luck with what
you're
doing. And I appreciate you coming out and talking about it.
Thanks for letting me be
here. I think you're going to have to come back sometime.
I would love to.
I think you got more to say. Maybe we can get, when we get Dusty Hightower one day, talking about the drug court, you guys can come in together.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, good to meet you. Dan Dixon, Carroll County Recovers, our guest on this morning's Community Voice. Again, if you missed any of the program, it will be up on our website here in about 5 minutes at newstalk1330.com. Time right now is 8:59. Remember the MLK events going on here locally. There's an event at City Station, I think 5 o'clock, 5:30 on Sunday. And then Monday, of course, we have the parade at 11 o'clock. And then 12 noon, there's a service out at the MLK Monument. And then the NAACP, Carroll County NAACP, is hosting a day of service. And that they want to make donations of small toiletries and big Ziploc bags to put those in. And they'll be collecting those at Moore's, the church at the end of Alabama and 27 Moore's Baptist.
The name of that church. I forgot it.
Yeah, it's there. so yeah, can participate in that day of service as well. But everybody, have a great weekend. We went a whole 25 minutes without talking about snow, but that's about the end. So stick around here in the next 2 minutes or so. You'll hear more about the potential for snow this weekend. 8:59. Have a great weekend, everybody.
National headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.